Hi, I want to welcome you back to our sociology class. As I have studied this class, I became mindful of just how unclear sociology is by many standards. What the sociologist is attempting to do is trying to describe culture through scientific methodology. This had come out of a modern era where the thought was that you could analyze everything, even human society. In a lot of ways, we can think about like the Amish. They're an example of a society that froze with a certain socialization and that was not open to change. So if a scientist, sociologist were to study the Amish, they would say that they did not change. They were driven by their religious convictions and their cultural convictions, and they stayed this way. Well, what happens today is that society keeps changing and moving into different realities, and often there is no compass, there is no underlying guidance. It just moves a certain way, and it can move in any way. And a scientist can look at the movement of society, put the scientific method together, describe what they believe is the authoritative scientific method, only to describe a drifting society heading into chaos with no compass that keeps it together. So many times when you read sociology books, when you read sociology articles, you'll see them talk about how society is today versus, let's say, how society was in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 2000, and how shifting everything is occurring. Now, on one level, they can say authoritatively that this is what they believe the values of culture are all about. Does that mean that this culture glorifies God? Does it mean that the culture in general is on a good track for everyone involved in that culture? The answer, maybe, maybe not. In fact, from many perspectives, we can look at how society is changing. And even if you could describe through the scientific method that here's what most people think, or this is what's agreed upon for socialization today, the fact is that if you analyze a drifting something that does not glorify God, you do all the sociology in the world, and it could still be a culture that's in decline. I'll give you an example of that. The Roman culture, the sociologists would have maybe studied it from the perspective of the great Roman culture and then continued to study that culture for like 200-300 years. Finally, the decline of the Roman culture as a viable political culture. Every place in those decades, you can describe it and you can say, this is what is sociology, to the point finally when very little of the Roman culture, those values that made it a great culture, very little of those values even existed. But you could all defend the current culture by the principles of sociology. So when we look at all this, and we now talk about the sociological method, understand that we still do see through the glass dimly of everything in our life. So as we go through all of this class, understand that this is the modernist, the scientist's way of trying to analyze sociology. There will be much truth here, but there will be things that don't reflect the glory of God. But you are here at Christian Leaders Institute, and we want you to be prepared for reading newspapers and articles and this terminology. We are mindful of the fact that many of the things here are not reflected in the Bible. And then there's the whole debate of the prescription versus description. So does sociology just describe the reality through these various methods? Or does it prescribe how culture should go? From a Christian perspective, we want to describe things only to prescribe the glory of God wherever we go. When we share the gospel, when we plant churches, we want ultimately society to glorify God. So we're on this journey. Understand that that there is the scientific method. There's often no compass to what the scientific method delivers. It's just describing and researching the values of society. So just understand all these things as we dig into this course. You know, I want to get right to here. I want to right away get into the sociological method here and, you know, have you see this and, you know, realize just what we're talking about here. So, the primary aim of the sociological method is to illustrate how sociologists go beyond common sense understandings in trying to explain or understand social phenomena. They do not see the world as we normally do. They question and analyze why things happen and if there is a way to stop a problem before it happens. Notice that last line, to stop a problem before it happens. Again, the perspective is a general worldview that doesn't necessarily honor God. So what we'll see as we study these things is how all of society and humanity seeks to basically get an authority. And what does that authority mean? Choosing to trust another source for information in the act of making that source an authority in your life. Parents, friends, the media, religious leaders, your professor, books, web pages are all examples of secondary sources of information that some people trust for information. So a sociologist would analyze, okay, in developing a scientific method of analyzing society and getting common principles of society, one element of this study is authority. And you know, in the case of parents pass down their understanding of humanity to their children, and friends pass it to each other. We have a media, the internet, television, that passes things on to each other. I'll give you an example of the media. Right now, over 90% of the intimate scenes, sexuality scenes in the media are outside of marriage. So there's an example. We have this. Everybody does it this way, and because it's on the media, for many people believe that this is authoritative because it's on media. Then there's religious leaders going to church on Sunday, hearing sermons. If the Word of God is your authority, then you're going to take higher stock. And let's go back to that question of sexuality, that sex is designed for marriage, to be done in marriage, that it's a gift for married people. Again, we would, as Christians, take that as our authority. But there is all sorts of authority. Many people go to a college, they take this sociology class from a professor who basically spends the entire time debunking the claims of Christianity as having authority in people's lives. So these are all of those types of things that are very important as we do this class, that we ask ourselves, who is our authority? We can look forward and we can see that another authority is authority that we give unto ourselves, our own experience. People often claim to have learned something through an experience, such as a car accident. Many people have experienced tragedy through the use of drugs. Some physical skills, such as water skiing or playing basketball, are acquired primarily through experience. On the other hand, some experiences are subjective and not generalizable at all. But again, this goes back to when we analyze society, we have such things as authority, we have such things as experience. We also have just plain things like logic, where people are, you know, basically have deductive method philosophy and has come up with methodology for logic. Simple deduction is often used to discern truth from falsity and is the primary way of knowing used in philosophy. I might suggest if I fall into a swimming pool, I will get wet. If that premise is true and I fall into a swimming pool, you could deduce that I got wet. So people use logic as a means of authority as well. Many people use things like tradition as a way of authority. Many people live in societies. I mentioned before the Amish. They have a very strict tradition. Their tradition is very authoritative. And they keep it that way. But many people who live in societies that who have not experienced industrialization decide what to do in the future by repeating what is done in the past. Again, I mentioned like the Amish, but in many places in the world where people have not experienced industrialization, things change very slowly. But even in modern societies, many people get satisfaction out of celebrating holidays the same way year after year. And this is even true with people who are not believers who will celebrate Christmas just because Christmas was celebrated year after year. Fast-paced change in modern societies, however, make traditional knowledge less and less helpful in making good choices. It's fascinating about that. In many fast-paced cultures, like the United States, the traditional knowledge is often being debunked because things are happening so quickly. And, often we have to be updated smart or have a bit of sociological understanding that both glorifies God and still is relevant in this world. In many ways, for Christians, we do have our way that we look at ourselves and all society, and that is that Christians acquire knowledge by consulting the Bible and believing what is written in it. Christians receive revelation from the Holy Spirit in the form of visions or general intuitive sense of what one should do based upon the Word of God. Sociology talks about revelation as authority, but the fact is many classes, again on sociology, will quickly take that authority of Scripture and debunk it quickly. Our hope is in Christ. We want to be wise as we study sociology and understand these various sources of the inquiry. But we do not want to leave the fact that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit guide Christians. Now, we don't want to be like know-it-alls in society. We don't want to feel like we have it and nobody else does it. We also want to be sensitive to the fact that God reveals Himself in all of creation. So we want to be sensitive to the truth that, we're all in this together. We share the common human experience. And because we share the common human experience, we are processing our faith in the day we live it with the general population who's around us, so that together we might be able to minister to those who don't know the Lord in a relevant way, but also in a way that's centered in the Word of God. So what we also have to take into account is the claims of both revelation and science itself. And sociology is a social science. So the scientific method combines the use of logic with controlled experience, creating a novel way of discovery that marries sensory input with careful thinking. By adopting the sense of cause and effect, scientists produce knowledge that can explain certain phenomena and even predict various outcomes before they occur. What the scientists like to use is the scientific method. This approach to doing science, often termed positivism, and that's an approach in sociology, though perhaps more accurately should be called empiricism, the positivist approach to social science seeks to explain and predict social phenomena, often employing a quantitative approach where aspects of social life are assigned numerical codes and subjected to in-depth analysis to uncover trends often missed by casual observer. This approach most often makes use of deductive reasoning, which initially forms a theory and a hypothesis, and then are subject to empirical thinking. The scientific method has essential elements. The elements of the scientific method are iterations and recursions of the following four steps: characterization, hypothesis, prediction, and testing. So let's talk briefly about these four steps. Let's first talk about characterization. A scientific method depends upon a careful characterization of the subject of the investigation. While seeking the pertinent properties of the subject, this careful thought may also entail some definitions and observations. The observations often demand careful categorization, measurement, or counting. Now, let's give an example. Okay, so let's say a sociologist were to study today's Amish culture in Pennsylvania. So what they would do is they would observe and they would come up with a hypothesis, a characterization, you know, starting first of all with a general thing, like the Amish so believe in tradition that they this affects how they look at all of society. And then they would say, okay, so with this characterization, they will say something like, because they do not want to be in the industrial age, an Amish household will not have electricity. Let's say the scientist said that. So this hypothesis includes a suggested explanation of the subject, the resistance to the industrial age, they may say, keeps the electricity out of homes. In quantitative work, it will generally provide a casual explanation or propose some association between two variables. So there will be another variable, the elder's interpretation of how they read scripture, and the resistance to the industrial age keeps electricity out of the homes. If hypothesis is a casual explanation, it will involve at least one dependent variable and one independent variable. In quantitative work, hypotheses generally involve potential assumptions built into existing casual statements, which may be examined in a natural setting, in a sociological setting. Now, in this class, we're going to talk about dependent variables and independent variables. But these are all things, if you had taken a science class, you would have gone through these things and looked at them, and now the scientific method is being applied to sociology, to culture itself. A useful quantitative hypothesis will enable predictions by deducing reasoning that can be experientially assessed. If results contradict the prediction, then the hypothesis under examination is incorrect or incomplete, or requires either revision or abandonment. If results confirm the predictions, then the hypothesis might be correct, but still subject to further testing. Predictions refer to experimental designs with a currently unknown outcome, and that's one of the things they're talking about. It's like, well, we're predicting, but we have to make it where the facts create the outcome. The prediction of an unknown differs from a consequence which can already be known. On the other hand, a useful qualitative hypothesis will enable questions or critique by inducing inductive reasoning of existing or of taken for granted beliefs, assumptions, and theories beyond the scientific settings. That's a mouthful, but in the end, what the scientists want to do is they want to create predictions that are accurate. And these types of methodology can only occur through a very serious testing methodology. So once prediction is made, so let's say the prediction is made that the Amish will always resist having electricity in their homes, then a method is designed to test or critique it. Is that true? At one point, the Amish did not resist having all electricity, and if they would have made that prediction somewhere in the 1980s and that, or somewhere in the late last century, the Amish started having electricity hooked up to their barns for milking and so forth and some of those types of things. So that testing of that prediction that they will always resist any electricity for many Amish did not occur. So the investigator may seek either confirmation or falsification of the hypothesis and refinement of understanding of that data. Through a variety of methods are used, though a variety of methods are used by both natural and social scientists, laboratory experiments remain one of the most respected methods by which to test hypotheses. Again, that's what society would say would be the most respected hypothesis, and there is much value by laboratory experiments. Scientists assume an attitude of openness and accountability on the part of those conducting an experiment. Detailed record keeping is essential to aid in recording and reporting on the experimental results and providing evidence of the effectiveness and integrity of the procedure. They will also assist in reproducing the experimental results. So constant testing becomes very important. Now, having said all this, one would wonder, really? You have all this testing? And the modern sociologist sort of understands that we could have a pretty relativistic, free-for-all world when we're starting to look at certain things. And you could test, for instance, some parts of society, and then you can make that somehow normative for all society and change society in a very bad way. There's a presentation coming up that I'm going to give on how Adolf Hitler used sociological principles and sociology terminology to be able to justify the extermination of the Jews. So the sociologists sort of police themselves by the area of ethics. And ethical considerations are of particular importance to sociologists because of the subject of investigation, people. Because ethical considerations are of so much importance, sociologists adhere to a rigorous set of ethical guidelines. Now, I want to talk about that the ethical guidelines used to be directly from the Word of God in Western culture, but more and more the ethical guidelines are becoming more political correct along political lines. In America, if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, in other parts of the world, there is, philosophic worldviews. In Europe, you have a socialism, and you have other strands of worldview that the philosophers guide the ethics. And then this sort of cultural religion of ethics starts informing what sociology makes sense, what sociology doesn't make sense. And more in society, Christian ethics are being discarded as marginalized, or they're fine if they fit into parts of the philosophic worldview. So here is another example why I am so excited about Christian Leaders Institute to be able to think through a world and life view that affects all of society. Back to this concept, the most important ethical considerations of sociological research is that participants in sociological investigation are not harmed. And notice that. You know, that's very true. But it's now opening up a lot of possibilities for what is ethical. What exactly this entails can vary from study to study. There are several universally recognized considerations. Now, again, notice a little bit in there, you know, a lot of this material is coming from places like the Wikipedia textbooks, and there's an assumption there are universally recognized considerations, universally by who? And these are all very important things. So, what can sociology tell us? Having discussed the sociological approaches to understanding society, it is worth noting the limitations of sociology. Because the subject of investigation, society, sociology, runs into a number of problems that have significant implications for this field of inquiry. What are those problems? Human behavior is complex, making predictions, especially at the individual level, difficult or even impossible. The presence of researchers can affect the phenomenon being studied. They call it the Hawthorne effect. Society is constantly changing, making it difficult for sociologists to maintain current understanding. In fact, society might even change as a result of the sociological investigation. For instance, sociologists testified in the Brown versus Board of Education decision to integrate schools. There's an example where the sociologist, back in those days, there was a sense of noticing some of the inequalities of public education, and they had sociologists testify. And the ethics back then was clearly one of that, you know, all races are to be treated equally. And then they made a decision that became prescriptive for society. And these are some of the issues that you see so often in the newspaper and so forth. And people, you know, and this is where the Bible can be our source book for ethics that can not only describe an understanding of the world, but we can prescribe the way a society should be. And you can see in the Brown versus Board of Education that those types of things happened in places. These types of things can happen in our community as we are bringing revival everywhere and bringing renewal in our communities. It is difficult for sociologists to strive for objectivity and handle the subjective components of scientific practice, especially when the phenomena they study is part of their social life. What that's talking about is hard to be self-aware. No matter how hard we want to be, becoming self-aware is extremely difficult. Who can help us be self-aware? I mean, that's ultimately the issue, is who can help us, human beings, be self-aware and study ourselves? This is where we need the revelation from God. You know, there's a sociology in every family. The way you've done things in the past, the way you do things now. There's a sociology in every community. Certain places have certain ways they think, and other places have other ways they think. This study is very important for you as you become trained as a Christian who gives leadership for renewal or for revival in your community. It's important as you vote. It's important if you are called into politics. It's important if you're called as a pastor. It's important if you're called into ministry. So this study, even though in a lot of ways it's hard to pin it down, it's not like mathematics where you have 1 + 1 = 2. It's often where you study these things and they don't make sense like you want to make sense, and yet you learn things. I believe this course will help you if you're called to be a minister, to help you do better lessons and better Bible studies, because you'll be more and more self-aware of those things that you take for granted in your own society. So as we study this, I want to encourage you to keep a mind of diligent study where you're thinking about what the Word of God has to say, where you're not getting caught in, you know, some of the sociological themes that shipwreck your faith, but that you constantly keep before you a curious but scripture-guided mindset as you study sociology and get prepared for your place in this world.